Speak to me, Lord, that I may speak for thee. Amen. God has given us so many gifts that I suspect all of us at some point or other just take those gifts for granted. And some more than others do we take them for granted. The one gift that I'd like you to think about with me for the next few minutes is the gift to decide, to make a decision, however you want to put it. The gift that God has given to us to enter into that relationship that God offers to us, or to walk away from it. To enter into that relationship with our sisters and brothers, or to walk away with all creation. So let's think about how we use that gift to decide. I suspect that every one of us has used it at least 5 times, likely 10, before we ever got here this morning. It was a hard morning to get out of bed, so I had to decide to get out of bed. Decide what I was going to have for breakfast. Decide to make those decisions. But let me tell you a story that has everything and nothing to do with God present. I'm sure God was present, but not known. And it's a story from the little city that Faye and I have called home since 1979. It's about an event that happened in 2016. And it concerns, of all things, for most of us, likely something we don't go out to do very often, have a rock band of sorts with the funky name The Tragically Hip. Now, they are where? Famous in Canada. Lloyd will tell us that. Pat will tell us that. Even if we're not a fan of their music, we all know about them as a name we give it. And in the late fall or early winter of 2015, their lead singer, a man by the name of Gord Downie, was diagnosed with a brain tumor that could not be treated in any way. He was going to die very quickly. So he had a decision to make, as did the Tragically Hip. What do we do? We're now well known across Canada, sort of known well enough in the United States, by the way, to be on Saturday Night Live, with a bit of help of Dan Aykroyd, who happens to live in our city too, when he's not other places. So they've made a decision, and particularly Gord Downie made the decision, we're going to do one more cross-Canada tour. Starting in Vancouver and come across Canada, end up in the city where they met, went to high school, graduated from university, and a small venue for a cross Canada tour. And as soon as they announced the tour and announced the dates, the tickets went. Within a week, they were all gone. If you wanted a ticket in any of the cities in Vancouver and Toronto, where they had 2 and possibly 3 concerts in Ottawa, Halifax, and the cities in the Prairie provinces, you couldn't get a ticket, nor could you get one in our home city. It was sold out, but the other thing that seemed to happen in our city, because it was the last concert, and obviously the last one the Tragically Hip were ever going to do, hotel rooms went. Lloyd and Pat live an hour from us by car, and most of the hotel rooms there were gone. And in the other direction, where our son lives, most of the hotel rooms are gone, and there is no possibility in our city. So, 5,000, 6,000 people, whatever the venue holds, was packed. But our market square was packed with 20 to 30 to 40, no one knows for sure, people there to celebrate on the big screen and to just celebrate the hip because of the decision Gord Downie made. Now, that was a bit selfish. By the way, Prime Minister Trudeau came and wandered through the square and then had a seat in the concert. In the middle of the concert, Downie said, Mr. Prime Minister, we have not paid enough attention to our First Nations people. Do something about it. Do something about it. And after that concert, for the rest of his life, Downie made the decision that as long as he could speak, as long as he could move, garbled as his words were towards the end, he was going to hold up our treatment of First Nations people. Now, he didn't mention the name God, but I'm sure God was there helping him make that decision. If I were able to hold up a picture with Gord Downey in the center of the tragical hip, over here on this side, there'd be a guitarist. 50 some years old, an original hip. Long hair, which is not very becoming of a 53 or 54 year old, Mel of its back. And a very good guitarist in Cole. His name is Rob Baker. I don't want to talk about Rob Baker, but I want to hold before you another decision about Rob Baker's grandfather. His name was Edwin Baker. Edwin Baker, 99 years ago yesterday, on the 11th hour of the 11th month, the 11th day, I'll get in right order, he would have been celebrating that there had been a peace declared for the war to end all wars. But Edwin Baker, who graduated from a university that Lloyd and I both later on got degrees from, for me I question their wisdom, but nonetheless we all hold degrees from that university. But he graduated, Edwin Baker graduated as an engineer in 1914 and immediately joined the Canadian Engineering Corps. Off to England, on to France. In 1915, he was wounded badly enough that he lost his eyesight. He could have made the decision to go home and just sort of sit in pity with all that losing your eyesight would do for a young man at the beginning of his career. But instead, after that day, 99 years ago, when war ended, he gathered together six other people who were eyesight impaired, got together, what made the decision to say, what can we do? And their decision was to form an Institute for the Blind. 1920, it went into being, and for 42 years, Edmund Baker, an engineer, was instead the managing director and chief operating officer, and head honcho, so much so that he was called the colonel, though he never had that degree in the armed forces. He was called the colonel at the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, offered service to innumerable people, including a family member of ours, because of a decision he made. Now on Remembrance Sunday, all the same, we have to remember that Jesus very rarely talked about, I cannot recall at any time, that Jesus talked about warriors and war. He talked an awful lot about peace. And of course, any legitimate warrior would say, we really do this in hoping to achieve peace. But Jesus talked a lot about that relationship that God has with us and asks us to have with one another and with all of creation, and to bring peace to that. And no more so than in that parable that I just read a few moments ago. The parable that at first read it just thinks about dumb women and wise women. But think about it again. Jesus was writing to Jewish converts to the Jesus movement, or Matthew was writing to those converts to the Jesus movement. Men and women who were by this time being edged out of Judaism and the Jewish synagogue, were being come at from the other side by the civil authorities who saw them as a threat. And they were falling away. And Jesus was saying, even though he called them stupid, be prepared to the five women who didn't have all the wine, or have all the oil for their lamps. Be wise. Be prepared. But he didn't let the ones who he also called wise off the hook. Did you notice as that was read, and maybe if you heard it other times, how the wise held on to their oil? They held on to it. It was the most important thing. And because of that, the wedding feast was not as good as it could have been with five more women. They made a decision. And of course, the hearers of that parable, when Matthew told it and wrote to them, would have seen that the bridegroom was likely Jesus. They knew that Jesus would be late because he stopped and talked to women alone, which he shouldn't have done in his culture. And he stopped and ate with people who shouldn't have eaten with, then healed lepers and did all those things. So he's going to be late. Never was on time. They made the decision, though, that they weren't going to let those other people in. Decisions. And the first reading you read from Joshua, if you read the second to the fifth book of the Bible, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you can't help but get the name Moses. But if you look and say, who was Moses' sidekick? Well, there was his brother Aaron. Some scholars would say that Moses did not speak very well. He had a speech impediment, so Aaron did a lot of speaking for him. But on the other hand, when there was nasty work to be done, it was Joshua. Joshua out to keep some of the nasty people away. It was Joshua who led the group that went in to see if they could conquer Jericho and the heavy walls there. It was Joshua that God called to lead the children of Israel into that land of milk and honey, the promised land, across the Jordan River. And it was Joshua also that Moses said, you go and lead. It was Joshua the warrior who conquered that land and divided up among 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons. And it was Joshua who then, in his old age, we heard being quoted in the first reading. Like this stooped old man with hair like this color and lines in his face and all those other things. Because by this time, the children of Israel had quit wandering through the desert. They had been settled in the land. They had conquered the land. But they looked around and said, these people have a God. They have some neat things about their God. And it was leading away from the God who had anointed them as a chosen people. So Joshua, the warrior, became Joshua, the peacemaker. Gathered together, he said, and different wording than in our translation, but those sayings I'm sure you've heard from time to time as he addressed the leaders of the nation of Israel today, what it is today. As for me in my house, we have decided to serve the Lord. So on this Remembrance Sunday, I tell you the story of Gord Downie, who decided not necessarily to serve the Lord, although he may have been underneath all his decisions. I tell you the story of Ed Bacon, who decided, part because he was buried and the funeral was presided by a colleague of mine. I didn't know at the time, obviously, but a colleague did preside at his funeral, was obviously in some way his decisions to serve his country, to serve his Lord through the country, to serve those with sight impaired through the CNIB, through Jesus who said, make our decisions to serve the Lord and wait for the bridegroom, be prepared. And Joshua, who said, as for me and my house, we have decided to serve the Lord. As we go forward from this place today, the communities that have scattered, may our decisions also be made in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in whose name I dare to speak. Amen. Amen.